Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to Ask an Attorney. The law office is now open. If you have a legal question about Florida law, give us a call. Our toll-free number, 800-969-9352.
All right, you're listening to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. The law office is open, hour number three today. If you have a legal question, you can call our toll-free hotline number at the radio station, 800-969-9352. That's 800-969-9352. Phone lines are open to take your legal question. It can be just about anything: wills, trust, probate, guardianship, real estate, family law, personal injury. You name it. If you have a problem, I'd love to talk to you about it and try to get you pointed in the right direction. 800 is the number, 969-9352. Let's go to Donnie in Treasure Island. Hey, Donnie.
Hi, Mr. Pippin. I'm curious about eviction. I know that the governor didn't extend it because of the CDC memorandum that was signed September 2nd, going to the 31st. I understand that there's a two-page declaration that you have to fill out, download the PDF file to your printer and fill it out and give it physically or by certified mail to the landlord. Will that really protect you?
You know, all this is kind of new territory, so it should, at least should stall it, you know, if nothing else. We have an attorney in our firm, if you want to talk to him in more detail about it, that would handle that type of area. I don't really handle evictions and ejectments myself personally, but I have other people in the firm that do.
Okay.
So if you'd like to talk to one of them, I can give you the number. But so which side of the fence are you on in this question? Are you a tenant or the landlord?
I'm a tenant.
Okay. And are you behind on your rent right now?
I'm continually paying my rent. My rent isn't in the arrears now, but my landlord has stiff rules. I mean, for where I live, he's getting real good money. I've been living here for years. I don't know if he's maybe trying to rent to somebody else, but as long as we continually pay our rent, we don't break rules.
Yeah, what's the term of your lease,
though? Can he evict us?
What's the term of your lease?
Well, see, we don't have a paper lease. I have a verbal, which is better than paper, from what I understand, and I get rent receipts every month.
Well, you're month to month then.
Yeah, yes.
So if you're month to month, they can give you notice for whatever reason they want. Probably they can, month to month, they can give you notice. So if they gave you notice today, you would have to leave by the end of November. It has to be 30 months starting, you know, before the start of the month.
Even with the no evictions through the CDC?
Well, no, that's a little bit different. But once we get past the no eviction rules and so forth, month to month is not a safety position from your part. You want the security of peace of mind that you have a place to stay, why don't you get a longer-term lease? You know, at least a year lease or two-year lease.
He wasn't willing, probably because he figured it protected him. I would assume that if he signed a lease that he would be stuck with the person if they paid rent for the period of the lease, 6 months, 1 year, two, whatever, however long the lease was.
Yeah, but you, I would think you would be a good tenant who pays their monthly rent, so safety of mind for both of you. You've got a long-term guaranteed payment coming in, and you've got someone who's needs peace of mind of having the lease. So it could benefit both of you. It's the other side of the picture.
No, listen, and I totally agree. And like I said, I'm not, it's kind of a weird situation. I even have a roommate. So there's the whole catch 22 of how do you kick two people out if we're not a couple? We're two individuals that are renting a two bedroom apartment, Gulf Boulevard, for years. How do you evict two because you want to rent to a couple that is a couple?
Yeah.
Maybe they're paying. Maybe they're willing to pay more money. We're paying $1,600. So maybe he's going to get $2,000. I don't have any idea. All I'm trying to do is protect myself if I continued rent due the 5th tomorrow. Okay, so should I give this man my money or should I give this man my middle finger and tell him, you know what? I'll see you December 31st. I'll save my money, which would be roughly, you know, talking about thousands of dollars, enough to move somewhere else. Potentially,
well,
even if
I don't know.
If we,
I guess my advice would be
together,
go ahead and pay your. If you want to stay there, go ahead and pay your rent and maybe be looking on the side. You could give him notice too that you know you want to be gone the November 30th, and you found a place with a year lease. You know, and you're going to leave, and just give him notice. But
what
I would
we,
pay your rent
I mean,
tomorrow if it's
we're,
due.
We're good to the first of the year. I don't understand how
yeah.
he could, how he's got any legs to stand on. Even if he filed the 3-day on the door, legally, he has to give me legal paperwork, right? It can't be no sheet of paper that he wrote on with a pencil.
Yeah, right now you're safe until the end of November.
December.
All right, Donnie, I need to move on, but thanks. I hope I helped you.
Okay.
All right,
thank you, sir.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye. Let's go to Dan in Bradenton. Dan, are you there?
Hello.
Yeah, Dan. What can I do for you?
Oh, good morning, Joe.
Good morning.
I had you do a trust for me last week.
Yes, sir.
And I received the packet in the mail late
yes,
this
sir.
Week.
Yes, sir.
And there's a quit claim deed in there for my property. And it
yes,
says
sir.
This is not registered. Do I need to go to the clerk of the court and register that quit claim deed?
No, it's a deed from you to you as trustee of your own trust. So there's not a change of ownership. So a lot of my clients, what they do is just hold on to that. And if you passed away, your successor would record the deed and we would follow the will all at that time. It doesn't have to be done right now. It can be done upon your death when your successor needs to
okay.
take over the property.
It's a matter of convenience.
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. I understand. I just want to make sure I cross all my T's and dot all my I's.
All right. Very good.
That's more.
I think you're
that's
in good
my
shape.
Question,
all right.
Buddy. Thank you.
Yep. Uh-huh. Bye-bye. Let's go to Kevin in Bradenton.
Hey, good morning, Joe.
Hey, good morning.
Just to help that guy out a little bit, as a landlord, the rules are that if you have, and you are correct, if you're on a month-to-month, it's at the end of the month, they can do whatever they want. They can serve you notice. Termination, basically, is what it is. As a landlord, I like long-term renters, so... You know, the longer the better. He might want to call up his landlord and say, you know, I'd like another year's lease and, you know, I'll lock it in the price. It's a win-win, you know, empty house.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Money.
But he thinks his landlord doesn't want to give him a month to month and likes the peace of mind of being able to get rid of you in a month. Which, I mean, that would be a horrible way for me to live, I think. I'd like the peace of mind of having at least a year
well,
lease,
here's the other thing, lease. Too. You know, maybe the guy's thinking about selling, and you can always write that into the lease that, you know, we'll be here as long as we get 90 days notice. You want to sell it, you know, the market's really hot. Maybe you're thinking about it. But yeah, you're right. I wouldn't sleep good at night, and it's not fair to my home renters, homeowners. You know, I want to keep them happy. I want them to stay forever. So, you know, whatever's a win-win on that, you know, the issue we have right now is, you know, taxes keep going up. They want to add this and that. And everybody needs to know is that, you know, as a real estate investor, you're just going to pass that on to renters. So when you see these bond issues or things on the ballot, just remember it all flows down to the people paying. But, yeah, if you have a one-year lease and it's up, I can do a termination of lease if you have, you're correct.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It's month to month. It's 30 days.
Yep. All right, Kevin. Well, thank you for calling.
All right. Always great advice to hear from you, Joe. Right. Thank you, sir.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye. All right. You're listening. You're asking an attorney all about Florida law. If you have a legal question, the phone lines are open. You have a toll-free number, 800-969-9352. That's 800-969-9352. Hey, we have our fifth in a series of Zoom legal seminars. We've done four so far. We have our fifth one coming up this coming Friday. It's on living trust. Our prior seminars have been on estate planning, asset protection, Medicaid, and probate. So with number five coming up on living trust, it's an hour long. It's October the 9th at 10 o'clock. You're invited. If you'd like to attend, there's no charge, and we'd love to have you attend. We have 100 on our Zoom program. We have 100 people capable of attending. We have over 50. Probably have be packed out today. If you'd like to attend, send me an email to Joe Joe at attypip.com. That's Joe at attypip.com. The seminar will be an hour. I start with about a half an hour presentation on living trust, all the things I think you would like to know about trust. There's a chat room that I answer questions on after the half an hour presentation, and then there's a live question and answer period at the end. Again, if you'd like to attend, you send me an email to Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com. Would love to have you attend. I'll look forward to doing another presentation. We're going to take a short break and be back with more of Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law in just a few minutes.
Is Ask an Attorney on 970 WFLA.
All right, you're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. I'm Attorney Joe Pippin. If you'd like to call the show, you have a toll-free number, 800-969-9352. Let's go to Noel in Bradenton.
Morning.
Good morning, sir.
How you doing? It's a little gray and rainy where I am. I hope you are enjoying your morning.
Yes, sir. I'm in Jacksonville, and it's about the same way right now. So,
I have a quick comment, which is actually kind of what inspired me to call, because my questions aren't you know the end of the world, but the call regarding the rent freeze, and the month to month. Now, you guys pointed out that you know if you were to pay your rent on the first or day zero, then you still at least have that month. So you're not going to get thrown out. You would know that you're out. I get the impression from the caller that he's trying to use this, the new rule or the hold to see if he can, you know, finagle, you know, a leverage or a power position on his landlord. And he even, you know, gave the term of, should I give this guy the finger? You know, this is potentially thousands of dollars. You know, thinking like that, that kind of got me and my son, you know, I'm a single father, in trouble. You know, we got 2.5 months behind. I was one of the people that it took forever to get the unemployment, but I knew I was going to get it. I knew I was a legit. And so my landlord, he went ahead and filed eviction, even though there was the freeze. So long story short, I get all my back money. And before I handed him, you know, the 3 months and then the next 2 months forward, I said, you know, I've been a good tenant. And he agreed, you know, he's never had to do a repair, even minor stuff with me. So I said, you know, because I'm a good tenant, would you mind, you know, taking $500 off the security deposit I gave you 2 years ago? You know, just to give me a little bit of a break because I'm getting this money back. But, you know, I'm still unemployed. There's no guarantee looking into the future. You know, otherwise I might be in a position where I have to, you know, square up as much as possible. And I have made some cheaper arrangements in the future. Okay, yes, no problem. He takes all my money. 2 weeks after that, I'm trying to pay October rent. Okay, you know, this is the last of the nest egg. No, I had planned out everything. I'm actually pretty good with numbers. He takes everything. I think I'm paid up. I got the one more, and I'm thinking I'm paying October rent. He comes in with, well, you still owe me the 195 filing, you know, because I didn't try to file for eviction. And against our original, I was under the impression we had an agreement where the utilities, I gave $75 extra, and the plus or minus of, the higher bills in September, you know, basically we just figured it was, you know, be a wash. Well, of course, now he wants to change accounting methods, and he shows me the last 5 months, which were all a little bit higher. Of course, he doesn't want to do it for the earlier months. So my question to you is, you still, you know, I think I'm paying October. I still don't have steady employment. Actually, I do in November. I think, you know, if we don't all of a sudden change accounting methods and add 195, he actually owes me 125 bucks. Otherwise, you know, we're talking, you know, I got to pay him another, I think, another 300 or 400. Now, all that extra money, that was supposed to be by October end. So, it's, you know, yeah. I just don't know how to proceed or, like...
All right. Well, no, let me say this, because I'm probably going to... You're kind of in an involved situation there. It's going to need more time than I can give you on the radio. So, but basically, I think the bottom line is the four corners of the lease agreement are going to control the situation, not anything that verbal that happened. So it might be on paper, according to the lease, you owe more money, but that seems like you can negotiate with the guy a little bit, maybe, but it needs to be reduced in writing. And probably you're going to need an attorney if you can't do it yourself, you know, verbally at least, and maybe get something in writing. You're going to need an attorney to kind of finalize it with some type of letter
The problem is I have two unemployment checks coming. Like, my problem is here. I'm thinking I'm square paying October, and he's saying I owe him $400. I don't owe him $400. I mean, I guess my point is he's got my money.
All right. Well, you need to put that in writing to him and ask for an agreement of understanding.
I've sent emails ad nauseum, and he always comes back with, you said you were going to pay it. I never agreed to just have the utilities be 75. Oh. I said, well, when you filed your eviction numbers.
All right. Well, it's okay. It's like this. If you've redone everything you can do yourself and you don't have a good settlement in your mind and you can't do anything more yourself to achieve where you want to get, then you need an attorney to write a letter and be your advocate for you.
Thank you, sir. Do you have any recommendations?
Yeah, I have an attorney in my firm that his name is Jim.
I was being silly.
Oh, yeah. Yes. All right.
I was saying I know you're an attorney. I would love for you or your firm to look into the case.
Okay, well, great. So I'll give out the number during the show, and you can just call the number. You can ask for Jim if he's the one that does the real estate matters like that.
All right. I will call Jim tomorrow morning.
All right, thank you. All right, you're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. If you'd like to call the show in the remaining half an hour coming up right after the news, the toll-free number is 800-969-9352. Joe from Wesley Chapel, you'll be our first caller coming on the other side of the news. We'll be right back.
Ask an Attorney on 970 WFLA.
All right, you're listening to Ask an Attorney. I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, host of Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law for 37 years now, and longest running show in Florida. If you have a legal question, we have about 25 minutes, not quite 25 minutes left in the show. And if you are in hour number three here, if you'd like to call the show, you have a toll-free number, 800-969-9352. That's 800-969-9352. Phone lines are open. Let's go to Doug in Tampa. Hey, Doug.
Hey.
So what can we do for you, sir? Yes, what can we do for you?
Well,
with the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18-plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I've been living in a house about 25 years now, and it was my mother's second house, and about 5 or 6 years ago, we said, well, maybe we can save some money by claiming homestead. So we did a quit claim deed. Now we're in the position where we may want to sell the house, and starting to see that there may be some substantial tax disadvantages that we incurred now. Is there any way around that, or what's the situation?
Well, you have it like a 200. Are you going to sell the house and buy another homestead?
Yeah.
You have like a $250,000 exemption from the capital gains tax.
Yeah. Right. Well, capital gain from this house could be in excess of $600,000 or $700,000.
Are you married?
Yes.
Well, it's $250,000 each.
Yeah. So we're still going to be hit up on that extra $200,000 then, right?
Yes, sir.
No way around that.
Okay, hold on. So if you're going to use all of the money from the sale to buy another home?
Well, no, probably not.
Okay. Yeah, well, if you you have an exemption, if you're going to use it to buy another home, you know, you can not pay tax on the money that you roll over into a new home. If you're going to keep some of the profits over the
500,000 exemption, and the extra 250 or whatever goes into the new home, we're not taxed on that.
Right. What was the cost basis when your mother died?
The cost of the house?
No, the cost basis, it got a stepped up cost basis at the time of your mother's death. Do you know what that number is?
I'm breaking up just a little bit. The cost basis of what?
The cost basis, the market value of the at time of death of the mother, or the value of the house.
The value of the house. Oh, the mother's not dead.
Oh, I see.
She's not dead.
Okay. Well, the value of the house on the. Well, it's what did your mother? If your mother's not dead, what did your mother pay for the house?
Oh, okay. So she probably paid in the neighborhood of $350,000.
So when it was transferred to
market value is close to 900.
Okay, so when it was transferred to you, the gift, the basis, your basis became the value of what she paid for it because it was a gift. So let's say your basis is 400. And the bait that and you sell it for 900.
Okay, so that I think I think I'm seeing the picture and then I like that. Okay.
So then the basis then you could sell it for 900 and you and your wife each have $250,000 exemption, so you might not have any taxes. I'd work with a CPA if I were you.
I was thinking the cost basis would be, since it was a quit claim, it would be zero. But you're saying it's the value of the house when it was transferred.
Yes, sir, that's a big relief. All right. We'll talk to your CPA though when you get all this figured out, and I'm sure you might be better.
Okay.
Than you think. That's good.
I like hearing that. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye bye. Let's go to Tom in Clearwater.
Yeah. Good morning, Joe. First off, I'd like to say I've listened to you almost every week, and there's not a week that goes by that I don't learn something.
Well, great. Thank you so much.
Hello?
Yes, I'm here. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Now, what my question is about is I'm about to purchase a home. And I've got a lady friend that'll be we're going to go in on it evenly, and she in the past she's had some house guests that have come into her house, and she has a very nice place now, and they've been a little reluctant to leave, and they've overstayed their welcome, to put it mildly. Are there laws to protect the homeowner? I understand there's a stipulation that if you invite somebody into your house and they don't want to leave, then you've got to go through a whole eviction process. Is that true?
That's pretty much, yes, sir. That's pretty much the deal. So, Well, I don't know. You could have, even if you had a very short-term lease, like a week, you know, that you got them to sign and they don't want to leave, you still got the same problem. They're not leaving. So you got to physically, legally have a procedure to remove them.
In that case, would it be better to keep, does it matter then who has ownership of the house? If she would invite one of her family members in and we aren't related and I own the house, would that be, I don't have any problem putting people out. Is there a loophole you can have to get around that?
Well, I don't know. It's going to be difficult to, if one of you want them out and the other one doesn't. So one that half owner of the house invites them in, it's going to be half for the other half owner who doesn't want them in to evict them, because then you got a conflict with the two owners and a tenant who doesn't want to leave. So, I mean, you just got a big mess there.
Yes.
So I would have an agreement of understanding in writing, perhaps with the new owner, that this is the way this is going to work, and I don't want to be a co-owner of a house, half a house that you're going to invite people in that won't leave, and I can't evict.
Gotcha.
I'd even rethink.
Okay. Well.
You know.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. Let's go to Carol in Bradenton.
Good morning. Good morning. Hey,
Carol.
I have a living trust.
Yes.
And I had an annuity with a different company when I made it, and now this month I changed to a different annuity. Do I have to do anything in my trust to make that known?
No, a trust is a bucket, I call it. So you have the rest of your life to put things in your bucket or take things out. Most of the time, insurance annuity products don't the beneficiary is not the trust or the owner, because the product itself has a way you can name a beneficiary on it to avoid probate.
Right.
So that doesn't even have to be in the trust. But if it already is, the fact that you went from one annuity to another doesn't alter the trust in any way, so there's nothing to do with the trust document. It's just that that type of product doesn't have to be in the trust.
Okay, I just should keep a list of things that I've done that are in my bucket list that I've done since I made the trust then.
Yeah, Schedule A, your trust probably references a Schedule A, that's just an informal inventory list of what's in the trust, and that's just for the benefit of the successor trustee you've named in the trust.
Okay, thank you so much.
All right, thank you. Hey, if you'd like to attend their seminar on living trust, we talk about things. And even if you have one, I think you'd probably learn something and benefit from attending the trust seminar. It's not that we're doing one hoping you'll get one. It's also we want to give information if you already have one, things you should know about a living trust. If you'd like to attend their living trust seminar, it'd be helpful for those who are thinking about doing one, who would like to learn more about them, or even those, if you have a living trust, you might want to attend the Trust Living Trust Seminar this coming Friday, October the 9th at 10 o'clock. It's open to the public. I can have up to 100 guests attend. We already have more than halfway there. Probably be filled out today, I would imagine, on the other 50 requests. If you'd like to attend our Living Trust Seminar on Zoom, you can send me an email. We'll send you a link to the meeting. So you send an email to Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com. That's Joe, my first name, at, abbreviation for attorney, A-T-T-Y, first three letters of my last name, P-I-P.com. Send me a request for an invite, Joe at attypip.com. Seminar is this coming Friday, October 9th at 10 o'clock. We're going to take a short, if you want to call the show, we have about 15 minutes left in the show. If you want to call, you have a toll-free number, 800-969-9352. That's 800-969-9352. We're going to take a short break and wind up 3 hours of Ask an Attorney all about Florida law.
This is Ask an Attorney on 970 WFLA.
All right, you're listening to Ask an Attorney, the last 8 minutes or so of the show. Ask an Attorney all about Florida law. If you'd like to call the show, you have a toll-free number, 800-969-9352. Let's go to Trevor in Clearwater.
Good morning. Morning, Mr. Pippin. I have a problem regarding water leaks. Unfortunately, the apartment above me, the hot water tank has leaked down, and it's come down onto my laminated flooring, of which about 700 square feet have to be replaced. And I'm wondering, I believe I'm going to have about $1,000 deductible on my insurance, and I was wondering if there's any way I can recover that, that deductible from the owner of the apartment above me.
Yeah, I would give them the copy of the bill and tell them they're responsible for it. And if, after you have that exchange to determine whether or not they're going to voluntarily pay it or not, if they don't, you can go to small claims court.
Okay, well, thanks very much for the advice. I appreciate it.
All right, well, good luck to you.
I appreciate listening to your program, too. I learn a lot from it. Thank you very much indeed.
All right, well, thank you so much for listening. Thanks for calling. Let's go to Kathy in Clearwater.
Hello.
Hey, Kathy.
Hi. This is Kathy. Thank you very much for taking my call. I am.
Yes,
my mother passed away, left me a duplex. I quick deeded it over because I was her only descendant. And little did I know, I did not put my husband's name on it. I would like to get my husband's name on it, but it has a mortgage. Can I do that with a quick deed, or do I have to do something else?
No, so there was a probate of your mother's property?
No, not really. I was the only person that was in her downline, or her family left, so I just got everything.
Okay, but was your name already on the deed?
No, sir.
I was wondering how you did a deed. My question was there a probate or was it in a trust? And how did you do a deed transferring it to yourself was basically my question.
I just went to the courthouse with a piece of paper and showed her death certificate. And I don't know, I might have had to prove that my last name was hers because I'm remarried, but there was no other real transactions.
Well, your name must have been on the deed as a joint owner or as a ladybird deed with a remainder interest. It had to be on there somehow for it to be in your name. All right, but anyway, so if you don't know the answer to that, we could probably look on the county records and see how it was in your mother's name and how it got to you. But your question is, let's say you're a legit owner of the house. How do you get your husband's name on there? Yes, you can do a quitclaim deed. Whether the mortgage company accept you and allow you to take over the payments of the mortgage?
Yes.
Well, ask their permission to do a deed, also putting your husband's name on the deed. And I usually, when I do a quitclaim deed for someone like this, I usually just like to touch base with the mortgage company and make sure they're not going to have an issue adding a spouse, which normally they never do, because the spouse has certain rights to the homestead anyway. And it's, you know, I'm surprised if the mortgage company didn't want the spouse's signature on the mortgage on the transfer. Because now, is that your homestead?
No. And this was 30 years ago, so.
Oh, 30 years ago, okay. All right, so I would just, there's a change of ownership by putting your spouse's name on there, so it's not a homestead. So I would ask the mortgage company permission in writing to add your husband to the deed so it won't be a due on sale. Or due on transfer provision the mortgage company could enforce. I assume you have a favorable rate, interest rate?
Yes.
So even though the mortgage rates are so low now, you might be able to do even better. So basically, you could add your husband's name with a quitclaim deed, take your chances with the mortgage company, or you could get maybe for a little bit peace of mind, you could get the mortgage company's approval to add your husband's name to the deed, and we can easily do that with a quitclaim deed. That's the answer.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Let's go to Eugene in Spring Hill. Hey, Eugene.
Yes. Only assets I have are storage units full, VA insurance, a couple of thousand. Another couple in a bank. Must I go through probate?
What's the first asset that you had? I didn't understand what you said. The first asset was what?
Storage units.
Assets,
furniture, okay. Et cetera. And a couple thousand VA insurance. Mm-hmm. And a couple thousand cash. I have no will.
Do you have children or spouse?
Neither. No family other than cousins.
Well, I would have just a simple will to appoint somebody to be in charge and whoever you're going to leave your personal things to and your couple thousand dollars to. Otherwise, it's going to just sit there in a deceased person's name with no direction. And with no children or anything, it's going to be more complicated with more distant relatives who might be entitled to it. So if I were you, I would do a simple will and choose somebody to be in charge and choose maybe a person, a cousin or two, to receive the assets.
Would that be power of attorney?
No, that would be a last will and testament.
The will would do all that.
A will would leave your assets. You could also give someone a power of attorney to make health care decisions and do other things for you if need be.
And no probate.
No, there might be a probate, but it'd be a simplified, it'd be a very simplified probate from what you've just told me. I don't think you have enough there of what you've told me to warrant a trust.
No.
So, Eugene, I've got about a minute left, so I've got to wind up the show, but thanks for calling. If you're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law, if you would like to attend their Zoom seminar on living trust. Even if you have a living trust, you might learn, be able to learn something, be able to ask questions, hear other people's questions. If you're thinking about a trust, this would be also good for you to learn more about trust. If you just want to learn more about trust and not interested in possibly updating what you presently have, this would also be good for you. If you'd like to attend the seminar, it's on living trust. It's an hour long. There'll be a chat room part with answering questions. Send me a link to Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com. So if you want to attend the Zoom seminar this Friday, 10 o'clock, October 9th, Zoom seminar. We have room for 100 people. We've already got over 50 signed up. Probably could be maxed out today. Send us a request for a link to the seminar at Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com. If you'd like to learn more about our law firm, our website information is www.attypip.com. If you'd like to call our office, it's 1-800-226-3529. Thank you for listening. You have a great Sunday.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.